We are at Reish Lakish for the Talmidei Rabbi Chanina, about 15 lines before the end of the page. The story that we're about to discuss relates to the halacha about being socher reshus from a guy. What if the person who actually lives there isn't there, but you have the landlord of the person who lives there is there? Can you be socher reshus from the landlord, or does the dafka have to be from the tenant? And then we're going to go on to a discussion at the bottom of Samachem and Beis, still going over to Samach Vav Amar Aleph, of what happens if a non-Jew arrives on Shabbos. He wasn't there before Shabbos started, so you couldn't be socher reshus before Shabbos started. What if he comes on Shabbos? Can you be socher reshus on Shabbos? And we're going to analyze Rabbi Yochanan's psak that you're allowed to rent his rights on Shabbos and have the Jewish residents be mevatel their reshus on Shabbos. And then on Samach Vav Amar Aleph, we're going to have Rabbi Lazar is going to teach three rules that Shmuel held about when bittel reshus is a viable option. And then on Amud Beis, Rabbi Yosef is going to question Shmuel's rule that there can be bittel reshus from members of one chatzer to another, that people in one chatzer can be mevatel reshus to people in another chatzer. Ultimately, we're going to accept Shmuel's rules that Abai and Rava are going to debate the circumstance that we can allow bittel reshus between chatzeros. That's going to be the entire Amud Beis about bittel reshus from one chatzer to another. So again, we're just reminded of the basic yesodos, that in order to be able to carry in a chatzer where multiple people live, so if it's multiple Jews that live there, they are supposed to join in an Eruv. Short of joining in an Eruv, they could be mevatel reshus to each other. If everybody's mevatel reshus to one person, so that allows the common area of the chatzer, that allows them to carry in that area. But when there's a guy that lives in the chatzer, assuming that the guy asers, which is machlokas tonight, whether the guy asks b'makom even one Jew or only b'makom multiple Jews, when there's a guy that lives in the chatzar, we require schirus rishus. Bittel rishus is not good enough, and the eruv certainly doesn't work with a guy. So what we need to do is have a schirus rishus. We need to rent his rights in the property. So the Gemara tells us the following: Reish Lakish v'Tamid Rabbi Chanina iklu leu pundak v'lav socher v'hava maskir. Reish Lakish and the Tamid of Rabbi Chanina went to a certain inn, and the socher wasn't there. The person who lived there, the tenant wasn't there, but the maskir was there, the landlord was there. So Amru Mahu Lemegar Mine. So they asked, what's the halacha? Are we allowed to be socher reshus from the landlord? He doesn't live here, it's the tenant that lives here. So Kol Hechad Lamatzi Masikle Loti Bailach Delo Agrina. Well, certainly if the landlord does not have the right to throw the tenant out of the house, he doesn't have the right to evict him, then certainly we don't have the right to be socher reshus from him. This is a very important line in halacha. I mean, apparently the ability to evict is a critical ability in order to be able to be socher reshus. So when we talk about the law of eminent domain, is that enough to be considered to allow for schirus reshus from the local government? Is that significant enough, or is it so hard to implement and so difficult, so limited in its application, that it would be not enough to be socher reshus? That's a major machlokas haposkim. Now the nafkamina would be to be able to carry into the goy's property itself. To be able to carry in the common area, then you probably wouldn't need this. You wouldn't need the ability to throw the person out, the ability to evict. So anyway, kiti bo, the whole shaila is hechi dimatzi misalikle. What if the landlord is able to evict the tenant? So mai, then can we be socher reshus from him? Kiva dimatzi misalik agrina odil mahashta mia halosalke. Do we say that the ability to evict the tenant is enough, and therefore that gives the landlord enough power that he's considered the real resident of the chatzer, and we can be socher reshus from him? Or do we say no, he's not the resident until he actually evicts the tenant, and therefore we cannot be socher reshus from him? So Amalan Reish Lakish Niskar Ulkshnegiyes Rabbeinu Shabbatarim Nishalhan. So Reish Lakish said, I have an idea. Let's be socher reshus from him, and then when we get to our rebbeim, we'll ask them if we did the right thing or if we did the wrong thing. But let's act first. So also Shaila Rabbi Efes. They went. They asked Rabbi Efes. Amalan Yafas Yisum Shaschartem. He said, you guessed right. You did the right thing. You're allowed to be socher reshus in these circumstances. So a number of things to discuss in this story. First of all, we're going to have, you can't really fully appreciate this story until we're familiar a little bit with a sugya that's going to come up in about 3 weeks from now. The Gemara in Daf Pei Vav Amar Aleph has a machlokas tanoim. There's a machlokas in the Mishnah. What if one of the people who live in the chatzer leaves his house for Shabbos and goes spend Shabbos in another city and he didn't participate in the Eruv? Or there was a guy that they weren't socher from, and he leaves his house for Shabbos. Does his house cause a problem in our ability to carry in the chatzar if he's not here for this entire Shabbos? So Reb Meir holds that he does aser, whether it's a Jew, whether it's a guy, it's going to be a problem. If he's a guy, we need to be socher as Rishus. If he's a Jew, he needs to be part of the Erev, and even if he's not here for Shabbos. Reb Yehuda says, nah, it's no problem. He's not here for Shabbos. He's not one of the residents here for Shabbos. Reb Yossi says, the guy who's able to come back at any point on Shabbos, because the guy's allowed to travel on Shabbos, that's going to be a problem. But a Jew who's not going to travel on Shabbos, is not going to come back in the middle of Shabbos, so he's gone for Shabbos, you don't have to worry about anything. So the Gemara quotes over there the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that even if the Jew went to a different house in that same town, he went to his daughter's house, Ba'osa Yir, and he's able to return on that same day, he's still not going to aser because he had a hesach hadas. He certainly tried to, when he went away for Shabbos, a Jew goes away for the entire Shabbos. So the Gemara says that the halacha, we already learned this discussion a little bit, the Gemara says the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So Tosos points out that Rabbi Shimon is not arguing on Rabbi Yehuda's heter of the guy. Rabbi Yehuda was only matir when the guy goes to a different city for Shabbos. But if he's in the same city for Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda would say that the guy would aser. So on that, Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, but if it was a Jew and he was in the same city for Shabbos, he wouldn't aser, because a Jew, generally, when he goes away for Shabbos, goes away for Shabbos. He's not going to come back in the middle of Shabbos. So we would still paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that a guy who goes away for Shabbos, that he does not have the ability to aser on the rest of the B'nai Chatzar. And Tosfos also says, even if Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda on that point, we would paskin like Rabbi Yehuda on that point, because Halach Divrei Mekel Be'eruv. So clearly, how would we paskin if a guy lives in this chatzar, but he's not home for Shabbos, he doesn't create any iser. So then, given that that's the way we paskin, now how do we approach this story? What happened? The guy wasn't here. The guy who actually lives here wasn't here. The Jew wanted to know, can you be socher rishus from the landlord? Well, why would you need to be socher rishus from anybody? The guy wasn't here for Shabbos. If he's not here for Shabbos, he doesn't create any iser whatsoever. So that's why Rashi over here says that the reason they wanted to be socher rishus is they were afraid shema yavo anachri b'Shabbos v'yaser aleihem, that the guy might show up on Shabbos, and if he comes on Shabbos, then he'll create an iser. But as of now, he's gone. It's fine. They don't need to do anything. That's how Rashi says. But the other Rishonim just asked, then why would they need to be socher from Erev Shabbos? Why do they have to ask the Shaila? Can't they just wait and see what happens? And if he comes back on Shabbos, then they'll be Socher on Shabbos. We're going to have, that's today's Sugya. The Gemara is going to come to the Maskana. You're allowed to be Socher on Shabbos too. So why would they be so worried about being Socher before Shabbos? On the chance that he comes back on Shabbos? And he might not come back on Shabbos. So why don't you deal with it when he comes back on Shabbos? It's not like you're not going to be able to deal with it. So some of the Rishonim suggest, well, they didn't know that. That Maskana wasn't clear yet, that you're allowed to be socher rishus on Shabbos, so they wanted to cover all their bases. Or maybe they were worried that what if he comes back, and before they have a chance to be socher from him when he comes back, what are they going to do in the meantime? So they want to make sure they're covered for the entire Shabbos. The Ritva and the Ran suggest that if they're not socher mitchila and the guy would come on Shabbos, the Erev would be batel. They would only be allowed to be socher rishus and carry again in their chatzar if they would then also do a bitel rishus, and they didn't want to have to do a bitel rishus. They wanted to be able to do an Erev in the first place. The Ran says that even if the Nachri, that the tenant wasn't there, who says his wife and children weren't there? Maybe the Isser was created because there still were Goyim living there. It just wasn't the Balabas that was living there. It wasn't the tenant himself that was living there, but his family may have been living there. So you have to understand this story in some way as connected to that entire Sugya. The Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchos Erev in Paskins, like Rabbi Yossi, that the guy does Aser even when he's not in his house, that even when the guy goes away for Shabbos, even though the Balei HaTosfos all paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that if the guy goes away for Shabbos, he doesn't aser anything. The Rambam paskins that he does aser. Why does he paskin like Rabbi Yossi? So some of the Rishonim say because when you have machlokas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda halach Rabbi Yossi. But it could also be based on this story that the Stam of the Gemara assumes that the guy causes a problem even though he clearly isn't there for Shabbos. So that alone may be the reason that the Rambam wants to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So what do they decide to do? Do this. they said, okay, we'll do a schirus rishus and we'll ask about it later. So is that okay in halacha? You're allowed to just do and then ask the shayla later, do what you want and then ask later. So the Ritva says that's a special din erevin, that any suffik you have in din erevin, even the chachila, you're allowed to be somich lekula, and then if you could be poshet the suffik later on. In the Achron, the Sefer Minchas Yaakov, he writes that certainly any suffik that comes up in halacha that the poskim don't speak about it, and you're not sure what the halacha is, you need to be machmir even in dinei erevin. That's a suffik machmas chesron nidia, machmas chesron chachma, where you certainly don't say suffik to rabbanu lekula if you just don't know what the halacha is. Not every time a person is namaritz do we say that that's called a suffik. Suffik to rabbanu lekula is when there's a real suffik in din. If a person just doesn't know what the din is, that doesn't make it a suffik necessarily. He says the reason over here they were willing to be somech, to be socher from the maskir, even though it was a suffik, was because so long as the guy didn't come on Shabbos, they don't have an issue. There's no issue of carrying anyway. So they might as well do it right now. Anyway, they're allowed to carry in their chater in the meantime. And then if the guy comes, by then, hopefully they'll have been poshet the suffik and they'll have figured out what the halacha is. The Gemara is going to be clear in tomorrow's daf that when you have a din d'rabbanan, you're allowed to be somich lemaisa on a psak halacha that you've heard, even if you don't understand it and you have a lot of kashas on the psak halacha. So some of the achronim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, associates that with this story over here, that the reason they were willing to be somich on it was because they must have had some sort of mesora, that for a din d'rabbanan, they must have had some sort of mesora that was mutter, they didn't understand it, and for a din d'rabbanan, you're allowed to do, even if you don't understand, and you'll figure out later, you'll ask the Rebbe later. But the Radvaz writes in the Tshuva, that's only if you have some sort of tradition from a Rebbe that it's mutter, you just think it's wrong, you just don't understand it, you have kashas on it. So then you could be somich and you assume that the Rebbe has good answers, he'll be able to explain it to you later on. But if you, that's what they say, I think the Satmar Rebbe, when he came to America, started sitting in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. He never did beforehand, because he always heard that there was one sefer that gave a good explanation of why we don't sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres in Chutz La'aretz, why Hasidim don't sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres in Chutz La'aretz. And he came to America and he found the sefer and he read it and he saw that the explanation wasn't good. But before that, he always assumed that I heard if you have such a mesorah that there are people that do this, so okay, you'll ask kashas later. In the meantime, you could be somech lahakel. In the meantime, you could assume lahakel. And then later on, you'll figure out. Whether it's whether the explanation satisfies you or not. And one more point from the story. So who did they ask at the end of the day? They asked Rabbi Efes. Who is this Rabbi Efes? So very important character in history, because he clarifies a story that we're all familiar with. There's a story in the Gemara in Bamitzia Daf Pedalid about Reish Lakish and how Reish Lakish came to become one of the Chachamim. Reish Lakish was it was in the Chaburas Listim. He was a bandit, and Rabbi Yochanan he ran into Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is Machzir Lamutav. Rabbi Yochanan helped him do tshuva. So Tosos over there has a discussion. Was Reish Lakish always a bandit, or was Reish Lakish someone who was, what do they say? There's people who are from birth. There are people who are Bali tshuva, and then there are people who are from birth but took a break. So Reish Lakish, did he take a break? He was from birth and then took a break and then came back. Was he one of the Chacham beforehand? So Tosos says we have a raya that Reish Lakish must have been one of the Chacham before he ever became a bandit. Then he became a bandit, and then he was Chozer B'tshuva. Why? How does he know this? Because the Gemara says that Reish Lakish asked this Shaila to Rabbi Efes. The Gemara in Ksuvis on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis says Rabbi Esef was Yoshev Barosh after Rabbeinu HaKadosh died, and he was spent 2.5 years as the Rosh Yeshiva, so apparently very close to the Petira of Rebbe. The Gemara is at the end of Ksuvis talk about Rebbe's Petira. Very close to the Petira of Rebbe is when Rabbi Efes was the Rosh Yeshiva, which was way before Rabbi Yochanan was ever in charge. So Reish Lakish was ready, Nosei V'Nosein, Befnei the Chachamim in Halacha. He was already discussing Halacha with the Chachamim. This story was before the years of Rabbi Yochanan. This is way before then. And Tosus in Yevamos proves also for in Daf Nun Zayin that he must have learned Torah Barav Oshia, who is the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan. And he proves also in Bat Metzia from the fact that we find in Shabbos that he was Kibel Torah Me'avosav, that Reish Lakish was Mekabel Torah from his Rebbeim. So Balia tells us of many rayas from all over Shas that Reish Lakish was learning Torah way before he ever had any sort of encounter with Rabbi Yochanan. It's just that he had gone off and then Rabbi Yochanan brought him back. And based on this, we can understand that which the Gemara says, that Reish Lakish comments to Rabbi Yochanan, you know, before I met you, they used to call me Rebbe also. So Rashi says, because he was Rabbam Shalistim, he was the Rebbe of all the Listim, he was the in charge of all the bandits. So could very well be, no, he was actually called Rebbe, he was a Rabbam of Talmidim. But then there was a point in his life where he went off and then he came back. So that's how the Balei HaTosfos understand. So Rabbi Efes gave them the approval. He did the right thing by being socher the rishus. So the Me'ibri writes that's only when the socher is not there. That's when you're allowed to be socher rishus from the maskir. If the tenant isn't there, but if the tenant is there, so then you got to be socher from the tenant. Beis Yosef quotes that there are some that are medayik that way in the Rambam also. The Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Erevin says that the heter to be socher from the maskir, it seems to say only when the socher is not there. So it sounds like you shouldn't do it lechatchila, certainly not when the socher is there. So that would be a huge chumrah for us, because the socher is always there. Meaning, what if we're relying on the fact that the government's power to evict people with eminent domain, but that's only going to work if the socher is not there, but the socher still lives in the city. So the Beis Yosef says, but the mashmos of the Lashon LeGemara, yafa asisim sheschartem, is that it's yafa asisim even lechatchila, that it's perfectly mutter to do lechatchila, even if the socher is present. That's where the Beis Yosef paskins in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, we're going to get to today's daf eventually. Also, says the Gemara Vayter, Rabbi Chanina bar Yosef, Rabbi Chia bar Rabbi, Rabbi Asi, Yiklola, Hu Punduk, Dasa Nachri, Mari, the Punduk, Vashabata. Next story, these various rabbis went to a certain inn, and the Mari, the Punduk came back on Shabbos, the person who owned the inn. They went to an inn where only Jews were staying. The non-Jewish owner of the inn then comes back in the middle of Shabbos. So they said, okay, can we be socher rishos from a non-Jew on Shabbos? Socher k'ma'ariv dami ma'ariv b'od yom av socher b'od yom odil m'socher k'mvatal rishos dami ma'mvatal rishos v'afil b'shabbos av socher v'afil b'shabbos. Remember, there are three methods of making the chatzar mutter. There's eruv, there's bitul rishos, those are the ways to make a mutter amongst Jews. And then there's Schiris Rishos, which we do with non-Jews. So which model does Schiris Rishos follow? Is Schiris Rishos more similar to Erev, or is it more similar to Bittel Rishos? Erev has to be done before Shabbos. Can't make an Erev on Shabbos. Bittel Rishos can be done on Shabbos. So what do we assume about Schiris Rishos? Is it like Erev that it must be done before Shabbos? Or is it like Bittel Rishos that it must be done on Shabbos? Rabbi Chanin bar Yosef Amar Niskar. So Rabbi Chanin bar Yosef said, yeah, we could be Socher Rishos, no problem. Rabbi Asi Amar Lo Niskar. Rabbi Asi said, no, you can't. So Amalu Rabbi Chia bar Abba Nismach al Divrei Zaken V'Niskar. So Rabbi Chia bar Abba said, we could be Somich on Rabbi Chanin bar Yosef and we could be Socher. Also Shaila Rabbi Yochanan. So they went and they asked Rabbi Yochanan, what should they do, or did they do the right thing by being socher? Amalahan yafa sisum shescharetem. It's absolutely fine. You're allowed to do it on Shabbos, says Rabbi Yochanan. Toba nar dayu miyam Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold it's absolutely fine to be socher rishos on Shabbos? Vam Rabbi Yochanan socher kama arev dami. But doesn't Rabbi Yochanan himself say that schiris rishos is the same thing as making an eruv? It follows the same rules as an eruv. What does he mean by that? My love, mama arev mibodiyom af socher mibodiyom. Doesn't he mean that you need to be socher rishos before Shabbos, just like you need to do an Eruv before Shabbos? So how can Rabbi Yochanan say Yafa Sisim Shischartem, that it's okay that the guy came back on Shabbos and you were Socher Rishos on Shabbos? We know that Rabbi Yochanan says that Schiris Rishos is just like Eruv. Eruv has to be done before Shabbos. It can't be done on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, we misunderstood what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said that Schiris Rishos is like Eruv. Schiris Rishos is like Eruv in three very important ways. None of those important ways are that it has to be done before Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan holds it does not have to be done before Shabbos. In what way is Schiris Rishos like an Erev? Says the Gemara the following. Lo, Mama Ariv Afilu Pax Mishav Pruta, Av Socher Pax Mishav Pruta. First way that Schiris Rishos is like an Erev is that just like you can make an Erev with something that's worth less than a Shavu Pruta, so too you can do Schiris Rishos with less than a Shavu Pruta from a guy. Second, Umama Ariv Afilu Schiru Lekito, Av Socher Afilu Schiru Lekito. Just like in order to join in the Erev, you could have a Schiro Ulekito of the Jew, represent the Jew to join the Erev together with you. So too, when you want to do a schirus rishos. You're allowed to do schirus rishos from schiro lakito, from a farmhand, from a worker of the Jews, of the non-Jew. You don't need to do it from the. You don't need to deal directly with the non-Jew who lives there. And the third way that schirus rishos is like eruv is umam ma'ariv chamisha shishrim b'chatzar achas echon ma'ariv al yidei kulan socher nami chamisha shishrim b'chatzar achas echon socher al yidei kulan. Just like when it comes to making an eruv, when five people live in one chatzar, one person can make the eruv for everybody. So too, when it comes to schirus rishos, five people live there, one person is allowed to do the schirus rishos for everybody. So we'll get to, so Toiba Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar has serious problems with that. He doesn't like this idea that that they were socher this psak of Rabbi Yochanan. He had a problem with the psak of Rabbi Yochanan that it goes against one of the rules of bittul rishos. We'll see in a second, but he has a serious problem with this psak of Rabbi Yochanan. So again, the Rabbi Yochanan said that socher is k'ma'ariv dami. So what Rabbi Yochanan had suggested, they want to know mal lemeger minei. So Rabbi Yochanan had said that it's absolutely mutter, and when Rabbi Yochanan says that schirus rishos is like eruv, he meant something. He meant these three halachos. He did not mean that it has to be done before Shabbos. Before we get to the problem that Rabbi Lazar had with this, Tosos writes in Dibra Maskel Yafa Sisim Shesachartem. There are two Dibra Maskels Yafa Sisim. The shorter one, the second one. Tosos says, wait a second. To be socher rishos on Shabbos, you're allowed to make a rental agreement on Shabbos. Whatever happened to Gzera Mekach Umemkar, that all of a sudden you're allowed to make rental agreements on Shabbos. So Tosos says, no problem, because this is not similar to normal Mekach Umemkar. It's more like a matana, and it's only made to be matir tiltul b'chatzar. He says, "Delo aviel k'mat." It's only a matana bi'alma that we only do in order to be able to be matir tiltul, but it's not a real rental agreement. The Rambam, the second parak of Erev in Halacha Yud Beis, says l'fi she'ein schiras zu schiras gemura ve'no nasis al-leheker. It's not a real schiras. After all, you have to remember the dira of the guy meikra adin isn't really a dira. It shouldn't really ask her. It's only because of a gezera. Chazal didn't want us to live in the same chatzer as a guy that they made it more difficult for us by requiring this schiras rishos, but it's not a real schira. That's how Tosfos and the Rambam seem to assume. Magen Avraham writes in Shulchan Aruch and Mishin Pei, Sivkan Vav, that from the Gemara and Daf Ayin Aleph that we're going to see in a few days, it's muchach that buying rishos on Shabbos is aser, even if it's only the tzorach tiltul. The whole heter over here is because the nachri is diras nachri, is lo shma dira, and therefore it's only gzera shema yilmim maisav. We don't need a real kinyan gomer, so it's mutter to be socher on Shabbos. So says the Chok Yaakov in Hilchas Pesach, Simen Tov Mem Dalet, Sivkat Nches, that from this Tosos we see that if a guy forgot to sell his chametz to a guy, and Erev Shabbos is, and Erev Pesach is chal on Shabbos, so he forgot to sell his chametz to a guy, you can sell the chametz to a guy on Shabbos, because this is also in order to save you from the Yisra of Chametz. So that's the question. How did he read this Tosfos? Meaning, what's the key over here in Tosfos? Tosfos says, Lo dami l'mekach memkar li'asr b'shabbos. It's not going to be asr b'shamekach memkar. Why? Tosfos is saying, seems like he says two things. Delo havi elikam matana bi'alma, and she'ein osin elo lahatir tiltul. So on the one end, the first part he's saying, it's only kimatana bi'alma, meaning to say it's not a real kinyan. Don't worry about it, it's not a real kinyan. If that's the svara, that won't work for chametz Pesach. It better be a real kinyan when it's chametz Pesach. We have lawyers write up that document to make sure that it's a real kinyan that would be honored no matter what. So it better be a real kinyan when it comes to chametz Pesach. But on the other hand, at the end he says, Ein os nel lahatir tiltul. The whole point is just to be matir nisra, so it's b'makom mitzvah to allow us to be matir something. So if that's the case, then that must have been what the Chok Yaakov was reading. That part he emphasized, and he thought that would be enough to be matir with Chametz Pesach as well. Prima Gadim doesn't like this. Prima Gadim, Mishp Sozov over there in Siman Tov Mem Daled, says that, how can you compare the two? The reason of the heter over here is not because it's not a Skirus Gemura, and it's only because it's not a Skirus Gemura, and it's only Leheker. Over there, you need a Mechira Gemura. What kind of business to do something that's less than a Mechira Gemura? Of course course you need an absolute mechira gemura. Okay, that's point one. The other thing, so we said that what did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he said schiris rishus is like an eruv, that you could do it with pachos mishava pruta. That was the first thing that he meant. So the reason that it works with pachos mishava pruta, pashtus, is based on the fact, and this is what it sounds like from the Gemara a few days ago on Samach Beis, is that a goy is makbid on pachos mishava pruta. He's not mochel pachos mishava pruta. Therefore, legabi, the goy, it's considered something chashuv. So he's going to be socher as chatzer, even for pachos mishava pruta. So a whole group of achronim, the Avnei Milum, the Menchas Chinuch, the Rashash, all point out that even though the Jew who's giving the money, pachos mishava pruta is worthless to him, but since legabi the makabel, it's considered mamon, so it works to make the kinyan. That when it comes to determining what's considered a chashuv amount of money for a kinyan, what you see from this gemara, from this statement of Rabbi Yochanan, is we go by the makabel, not by the nosein. The Rambam writes in the second paragraph of Zeirav in Halacha Yud Beis that this schirus of Eruv is not a schirus gemura, it's only a hekrabal vad, and that's why you could use a pachos mishava pruta. So that same group of achronim say, but wait a second, it sounds from the Rambam that the Rambam holds the only reason pachos mishava pruta works is not because it's chashuv to the guy, but that wouldn't be good enough, the fact that it's chashuv to the guy. Sounds like the whole reason it works is because it's not a real kinyan anyway, it's just a schirus that we do. The guy's dira doesn't really mean anything anyway. Big nafkamina, what if the poskim all discuss, what if you have a situation where a guy is makadesh and isha, where the item that he uses is worth less than a shavapruta to him, but it's worth more than a shavapruta to her? Is she mukadeshes or is she not mukadeshes? So according to the pashtus of the sugya and the way that all these achronim wanted to say, yes, she should be mekadeshes, because as long as the makabel it's a shavapruta, so that's the determinant whether we go by the makabel. According to the Rambam, no, the Rambam says no, the only reason it works over here pachos mishavapruta is because it's not a real schirus to begin with. So that's that's what seems to be the machlokas, possibly machlokas rishonim over here. Okay, let's see the Gemara Vayter now. So now, Rabbi Lazar doesn't like something. Rabbi Lazar is unhappy with psak. So Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, that in order to allow carrying in this chatzer, so apparently what Rabbi Yochanan actually required is that the Jewish residents all need to be mevatel rishus to each other, and then once they're mevatel rishus to each other, they could be socher rishus from the guy on Shabbos. Why did they need to do the bittul rishus? So the idea of doing bittul rishus was that it's only one person that lives with the guy. Once they're mevatel the rishus, so it's ki'ilu, there's only one Jew that lives in that chatzer. So Rabbi Lazar has got problems with this. So I'm Rabbi Zera, Maitahid Rabbi Lazar. What was Rabbi Lazar's issue? Why did he criticize this psak of Rabbi Yochanan? So I'm Rabbi Sheshas, Gavra Rabbi Rabbi Zera v'loyad, Maitahid Rabbi Lazar. What? Rabbi Zera didn't know what Rabbi Lazar's problem with this was? Of course Rabbi Lazar has a problem with this. Rabbi Lazar criticizes this psak because it goes against one of Shmuel's rules of Bittul Rishus. Shmuel has three rules of Bittul Rishus that we're about to learn. Kalkashalei de Shmuel Rabbe. His problem was that it went against the Shita of his Rebbe Shmuel. Tamar Shmuel, because Shmuel said the following. Rule number one. We'll see what this means in a second, but just to translate the words, anytime there's an isser created in the chatzar on account of somebody, and the person is eligible to make an Erev together with you, so such people could be mevatel rishus. That's not that hard to understand. We don't need the Gemara to explain it. That's a regular case. A bunch of Jews living in a chatzer. So the fact that they all live together in the same chatzer means that they create an iser of carrying in the chatzer with each other. Had only one person lived in the chatzer and it had been only him, he'd be allowed to carry in the chatzer because it's only his private property. But the fact that a bunch of people share it, they aser on each other, they're ma'arvin, they're eligible to make an Erev with each other because they're all Jews, so mevatlin, they could choose to do bittul rishus. That's rule number one of bittul rishus. Rule number two, ma'arvin ve'ein osrin. If people are eligible to make an Erev, but they wouldn't aser on each other, so that we need a little more creativity. Where do you ever have such a case? People are eligible to make an Erev, but they don't aser on each other. Or number three, osrin ve'ein ma'arvin. People who aser on each other, but they're unable to make an Erev, in those cases, ein mevatlin. Bittul rishus is not an option in those cases. So what are these last two cases? So first we take the first case. Kol makom sha'osrin u'ma'arvin mevatlin, kigon beiz chatzero zuluf nemizu. Anytime they aser and are ma'ariv and have the ability to make an Erev, so that they can be mevatel rishus in a situation that two groups can restrict each other. So we're talking about not just two people, but groups of people. So we can't just go with the regular simple case of multiple people living in a chatzer. We're talking about two chatzeros. What happens is two groups restrict on each other's usage and are able to join in erev with each other. Shtei chatzeros zulf nimizu. You have two chatzeros, one inside the other, where the members of the inner chatzer restrict the people in the outer chatzer from using the chatzer, even if the people in the outer chatzer made their own erev. It's not good enough. Why? Because the people from the inner chatzer are allowed to walk through. The fact that they're allowed to walk through means that they need to be accounted for in one way or another in the eruv. So their rights to pass through are going to aser on the outer chatzer, but you could join the people in the inner chatzer in the same eruv, and then you'll solve all the problems. So then they could also be mevatel rishus to the members of the outer chatzer. If the members of the outer chatzer joined in their own eruv and they forgot to include the members of the inner chatzer, the people in the inner chatzer could be mevatel the rishus to the people in the outer chatzer, and that would be fine. The people in the outer chatzer can then carry in their chatzer. So that is rule number one of Shmuel. Rule number two, ma'arvin ve'ein osrin, ein mevatlin. If people can make an eruv, but they don't aser on each other, they can't be mevatl rishus. Kigon, what's such an example? Beis chatzeros u'pesach echad beinehen. So that's talking about two groups joined in an eruv, but would not restrict each other in any way without the eruv, is you have two chatzeros, and there's a doorway between the chatzeros. So they cannot, in that case, they cannot be mevatl rishus to each other. How does that fit? There's a doorway between the chatzeros, so what? So they're able to make an eruv through the doorway. As long as they're connected through that Pesach, they're able to make an Erev with each other. But Ein Osrin, they don't create an Isra on each other. There's a doorway between the two Chatzeros, but it's not Shnei Chatzeros Zulf Nemizu. Each Chatzer has their own entrance, their own exit out into the Mavoi that does not involve passing through the other Chatzer. So they don't Asr on each other. If each Chatzer makes their own Erev, they're perfectly fine. They don't need to account for the people in the other Chatzer. If they want to make one big Erev, they can make one big Erev also, but they don't need to. That's the picture on the second picture on the side of the page in the Bach, where you see the two chateros are connected through a Pesach, but they also each have access directly to a Mavoi. So they can make their own separate Eruv chateros, that's perfectly fine, or they can make one big Erev chateros, that's perfectly fine, but so they don't aser on each other. So in that case, we say that Ein Mevatlin, Bitul Rishus, does not work. And then what's the third rule? Osrin ve'ein ma'arvin, ein mevatel nasuye mai. The case where we say that they aser on each other, but they cannot join in an eruv. So you also can't be mevatel rishus. What case is that coming to include? Lav lasuye nachri. Isn't that exactly a case of a guy? A guy cannot join in your eruv with you, but he does create an iser. His presence in your chatzer means that you're not allowed to carry in your chatzer. And you see, you can't do bitul rishus. If the case that we're talking about in this third rule of Shmuel is that he came the previous day, the guy was already there the previous day, so then you should have been sofer rishus from him the previous day. It must be that he came on Shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan's case. And what does it say? It says that we're not allowed to be mevatel rishus. That when you have someone that asers and cannot join in the eruv, cannot be mevatel. As Rashi says on top, almo bitul rishus lo tikun elehechad chazul aruvim me'atmal. It sounds like you cannot do bitul rishus unless you could have made an eruv the previous day. So shmamina. So that's obviously was Rabbi Lazar's problem with Rabbi Yochanan. So it's directly against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan allowed people to be mevatel rishus even when the non-Jew arrived on Shabbos. Period. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Yosef, lo shmi'ali hashmaita. So Rav Yosef says he never heard of Shmuel's first rule, that people in an inner chatzer can be mevatel rishus to people in an outer chatzer. Right? The people in the inner chatzer aser for the people in the outer chatzer. They could also join in the same eruv as the people in the outer chatzer, so they can be mevatel rishus. Rav Yosef says, I never heard this. So Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, what do you mean, never heard it? This Abaye is always the one to remind Rav Yosef, yes, you heard it, you taught it. You're the one that told us this rule, and I'll even tell you the context that you told it to us in. Damar Shmuel, ein bitul rishus mechatzer lechatzer, ve'ein bitul rishus b'churva. Because Shmuel says there's no bitul rishus from one chatzer to another chatzer, and there's no bitul rishus in a churva. Va'amrit lan Allah. So you said about that, When does Shmuel hold that members of one chatzer cannot be mivatel their rishus to members of another chatzer? That's only when you have two chatzeros that have a doorway between them. But if you have one chatzer inside of the other one, where the members of the inner chatzer always need to walk through the outer chatzer, so they have drisas haregel in the outer chatzer. So because they aser on each other, the members of the inner chatzer could aser on the members of the outer chatzer, so then certainly they have the ability to be mevatel rishus to the members of the outer chatzer. So you taught us exactly Shmuel's rule, that the members of the inner chatzer can be mevatel rishus to the members of the outer chatzer. Amle ana amina mishmei de Shmuel hachi, v'amar Shmuel, ein lanu be'erev v'nel klashu mishnosenu. He said, what? I said that in the name of Shmuel? How could that be? Shmuel's the one that told us that we always have to follow the lashonos of the Mishnah by Erevin. And what does it say with regard to Bittul Rishus by Erevin? It says Anshei Chatzer, singular. Velo Anshei Chatzeros. It doesn't say members of multiple Chatzeros could be Mevatel Rishus. So how could it be? How could Shmuel say members of one Chatzer could be Mevatel Rishus to members of another Chatzer, even if it's Zulif Nemizu? It's against the Mishnah. And Shmuel's the one that says you always have to be very precise. The language of the Mishnah is all you got to look at. Says Gemara, Amalei Ki Amritlan Ein Lanu Be'erivin El Klash Mishra Seinu. Aha Amritlan. Now that was in a different context. When Shmuel said that we always have to follow the language of the Mishnah, it wasn't always. It was in a particular Mishnah. He said we should be loyal to the exact language of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said Shamavi LeChatzeros KeChatzeros LeBatim, that the relationship between Mavi and Chatzeros is the same relationship as the relationship between Chatzeros and Batim, which is another way of saying that in order for a Mavi to be Nitar B'Lechi Okara, the Mavi has to have multiple Chatzeros and multiple Batim in it, because it says Mavi LeChatzeros KeChatzer LeBatim. So you see that there's got to be, for something to be considered a real Mavi, to be Matar B'Lechi Okara, you got to follow the Lashon of the Mishnah, where there are multiple Chatzeros and multiple Batim. That's where we have to be very precise with the Lashon of the Mishnah. But not in this business about being Mevatel Rishos. You're allowed to be Mevatel Rishos even from one Chatzer to another Chatzer. Gufa, let's go back to that discussion. Bittul Rishus from Chatzer L'Chatzer. Amar Shmuel, Ein Bittul Rishus M'Chatzer L'Chatzer, Vein Bittul Rishus B'Churva. As a general rule, unless it's Zulif Nemizu, right, you can't be Mevatel Rishus typically if you have two Chatzeros that just neighbor each other, but each one has their own outlet into the Mavoi, you're not allowed to have Bittul Rishus from one to the other, and there's no Bittul Rishus in the Churva. Why would you want to do Bittul Rishus? For whatever reason, you want to be able to carry from one Chatzer to the other Chatzer. So if you joined in an Erev, good, it was wonderful, but you didn't join in an Erev with the other Chatzar. You made your own Erev. They made their own Erev. So now it's Shabbos and you want to be able to carry there. Can you do Bittul Rishus? Shmuel says, no, you cannot. And there's also no Bittul Rishus in a churva. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, I disagree on both points. Yesh bitul rishus mechatzer lechatzer, v'yesh bitul rishus b'churva. So tzricha, why do they need to argue both about a case of a churva and about a case of chatzer lechatzer? What's the difference between the two? Says Gemara, there's a big difference. Diashmi mechatzer lechatzer, b'hakar mishmol mishum da hatashmish l'luchud v'hatashmish l'luchud. Av l'churva da tashmish da chadu l'travayu, eim modle Rabbi Yochanan. Had Shmuel only told me there's no bitul rishus from one chatzer to another chatzer, I would say that's because they each function separately in their own way. But a churva is a churva, so it functions the same way no matter what. So I might think that since it's one tashmish, so we could be mevatel rishus from a churva to a churva also. So I might think he's modet Rabbi Yochanan, that will be okay. V'chiyat marbahan, had we only had the machlokas taught to us in the context of a churva, I would say b'hakam Rabbi Yochanan, b'hakim modet Shmuel. That's where Rabbi Yochanan holds his shita, but otherwise he'd be modet Shmuel. Tzricha, that's why we need to be told in both cases. Amar Abaye, Hada Amar Shmuel Ein Bittul Rishus Mechatzel Lechatzel Amar El B'Shtei Chatzeros Pesach Echa B'Neim Avol Beis Chatzeros Zuluf Nimizu Mitoch Shalos Mevatlin. Like Abaye said, Rav Yosef taught earlier in the daf, so Abaye repeats the teaching that when Shmuel says you can't be Mevatel Rishus Mechatzel Lechatzer, that's only two neighboring Chatzeros that happen to have a door between them. But if it's Zuluf Nimizu, where the members of the inner Chatzer Asra and the outer Chatzer, then you can be Mevatel. Rava Amar Afu Shtei Chatzeros Zuluf Nimizu Pa Mevatlin Pa Mein Mevatlin. It's not so clear cut. Even when you have Shnei Chatzeres Zuluf Nemizu, sometimes you can be Mevatel, sometimes you can't be. Ketzad, when can you be, when can't you be? Nasnei Ruven B'chitzonov V'shachachach B'eman Abinimus B'eman HaChitzonov V'lo Irev Shtei Nasuros. If they put the Erev in the outer Chatzer, and one member of either the inner one or the outer one forgot to join the Erev, everyone's Aser. Nasnei Ruven B'pnimus V'shachachach B'eman Abinimus V'lo Irev Shtei Nasuros. If they put the Erev in the inner Chatzer, and a member of the inner Chatzer forgot to join the Erev, so then they're both Aser. shachach echad min chatzonav lo irev, but one member of the outer chatzar forgot, and the erev is being kept in the inner chatzar, primus mutar is v'chitzon asur. Then the inner chatzar is mutar, the outer chatzar is going to still be asur. So now we explain. So we said if they keep it in the outer chatzar, everyone's going to be asur if someone forgot. So hi bar pnimis l'maniftel, because who's the guy in the inner chatzar going to be mvatel his rishus to? Liftel l'bnei pnimis, what, he's going to be mvatel the other members of the inner chatzar? Leisei l'arevayu gabayu, they don't have the erev in the inner chatzar, it's not going to help. Liftel l'bnei chitzon, he's going to be mvatel to the people in the outer chatzar. Ein biltel rishus mechatzar l'chatzar, he can't be mvatel to people in another chatzar. Hi bar chitzon l'maniftel, the guy in the outer chatzar, who's he going to be mvatel to? Liftel l'bnei chitzon will be mvatel to the people in the outer chatzar. Ika pnimis tasra alayu, the people in the inner chatzar still asr on him because they have drisas regel. Lift the bnei pnimis, he'll be mvatel to the people in the inner chatzar. Ein bittul rishus mechatzar lechatzar. You can't be mvatel rishus from one chatzar to another chatzar. Then we explain the next line. Nasei ruven bepnimis shachachachon min apnimis v'leiriv shtein asuros. If they keep the eruv in the inner chatzar and one member of the inner chatzar did not join, they're both asr. Hai bar pnimis l'man niftel, because who's he going to be mvatel to? Lift the bnei pnimis, ika chitzona dasra alayu. He can't be mvatel to the bnei pnimis because the chitzona asrs. Lift the bnei chitzona will be mvatel to the people in the outer chatzar. Ain't bittel rishus mi chatzar l'chatzar. He can't be mvatel rishus from one chatzar to the other chatzar. But shachach echer min chitzona v'lo yiriv v'adei pnimis muteres. But if someone from the outer chatzar forgot to join the yiriv, then the pnimis is muter. Da achta dasha mishlam shu b'chitzona asrur, because they could just close the door and pretend the outer chatzar doesn't exist. They'll be mvatel the rishus entirely, and then it'll become muter. Okay.